that he's not, this is not just, you know, a dress rehearsal, so to speak. I mean, this is the real thing, and he's been there, and he knows, and he's got compassion on us. And another thing Brother Hardin said last Wednesday night was talking about, if you're having trouble getting through to God, just start thanking him for his mercy. And I took that to heart. I mean, and that is the truth. I mean, you start thanking him for his mercy and realizing what he's done for us, and I don't mean to in any way discount the material things we've talked about tonight, the car wrecks that have been averted, the health problems we've been healed from, those kind of things. But Jesus has given us a chance, and I wonder sometimes how we build so much around the body of Christ, and sometimes I tend to think of myself as a member of the body of Christ and hold that in higher esteem than a follower of Jesus. A Christian, you know, what does it mean? What does it break it down to the lowest common denominator? What does it mean to be a Christian? It means Christ-like. And you know, I've seen these, y'all have seen them, these bracelets. What would Jesus do? And the first thing I want to say is Jesus probably wouldn't wear that bracelet. To me, that trivializes the sacrifice that he made. It makes, you know, to me, it makes Jesus into a rock star or a pop star or you know, the latest trendy thing. When what he did for us was so much and so far beyond Lance Armstrong. Because what they're doing, they're putting them on the same level. And they're making them into a pop star. And I want to be truly thankful for what Jesus has done for us, and the sacrifice he made makes my little sacrifices seem awful trivial, you know. Oh Lord, I got to go to church on Wednesday night. Really? Well, Jesus died on the cross. Okay, never mind. sorry, I brought up the church thing. But I just want to stand and give thanks tonight for the good things we've been getting, and for God allowing people like, you know, Brother Hardin, and for allowing, you know, Brother Smith. And I don't mean to discount that, and he's not here, but I was telling Brother Hardin, I said, Brother Smith is the first man that I've ever voluntarily tried to submit to. And that's hard. It's a lot easier when you just kind of go with the flow. But when you try to submit, and you try to submit yourself, that's rough. I didn't know it was this rough. I had no idea that when you voluntarily try to submit to someone. But, you know, if one thing Brother Tucker taught, what was the main thing Brother Tucker taught? If he had one message, what was it? Order. And if Brother Liniger had one message, what was it? It was order. I remember working in the PA room, and you had to, you know, y'all know how Brother Liniger would jump. He would start out on Revelations, and he'd be in Genesis, and then everywhere in between. And I'd have to label that tape. What did he talk about? What did he talk about? Guess what? Order. 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 I guarantee you could go through just about every tape back there that I did, and they all say order on them. May have been because I wasn't listening. And I didn't get that part, except, you know, but that, we won't go there. But I do appreciate order, because without order, there's chaos. And I do believe I have to submit myself. Somebody's the boss. The buck stops somewhere. Whether it's that state trooper that almost got me on Interstate 40 today, and he did. Oh, man. I didn't get a ticket, though. He pulled right up behind me, hit his blue lights. I like to faint it. That's all I need is a ticket. And I politely, as you can imagine, I believe in order. Yes, sir. I pulled over, and he went on right by me and got the guy in front of me. I was like, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I did. I did. I promise you. That's no joking matter with me. But I do want to lift up the hands of God, and not just Brother Smith, but all the other people with a gift in this church. And I asked here a while back the word ministry and a minister. popped in my head. And I started thinking about, what is a minister? What is really a minister? I heard Brother Brown, no, it was Brother Patton on an old tape, said a minister is not someone that gets up and talks for 2 hours on Revelations, the first one to go down and eat potluck. Is that a minister, if you have a flat on the side of the road at 2 a.m. in the rain, and you help me stop and change that flat, right, you're a minister. You're a servant. And I started looking up where the word minister came from. The word minister came from an old Greek word, diakonos, which is a deacon, which means a servant. That's all diakonos means, is a servant. And it was actually a waiter, someone who served other people. And I started thinking about how we all have a ministry, and we're all ministers. Now, do we all sit on the platform? No. But that's not the definition of a minister. Maybe the definition of a pastor, an apostle. But I had a Brother Junior Davis came down here a while back, and I asked him. I said, Brother Junior, I said, you have never had a church. You've never been a head usher. You've never been a choir leader. You've never been a band leader. You've never had any title that I know of. I said, do you consider yourself a minister? And he said immediately, of course. Like, what kind of stupid question is that? But he said, I'm a servant. He goes, I serve God's people from the least to the greatest. And y'all have seen him do it. You've seen him stand in line at the campground. And from the smallest kid to the oldest saint that comes through that line, he knows them all. And he's ministering every time he does that. And examples like that. And everybody here, myself included, we've all got a ministry. And your ministry may not be mine. And you may have waited your entire life and do not realize your true potential, but it could be coming. I was talking to Brother Harden when he was here, and he said that he's 72 now, and when he was 55, he thought his life was over. His wife was gone. His church was gone. He just felt like he had nothing else to contribute, and that was that. And he said God took him through about 10 years of things happening to him, and then in the last couple of years, he said he's 72 years old right now and has never been happier. And said it's just now, at this stage in his life, after everything he's been through, that he's realizing what God put him here for. And here I am thinking, you know, he's 72, and I'm thinking I'm 47, and thinking, is this all? Is this all I have to contribute? But it's not. All I have to do is be patient and wait, because down the road, I feel this in my heart, that we all have a great contribution to make. Everybody from the smallest child here to the oldest saint here, even Sister Inez. You know, she is getting pretty old. That's why I brought her up. But I just want y'all to know that I do appreciate what the Lord's doing for us, and I just wanted to stand tonight and say that the Lord's been good to me. You know, there's a song, what's that song we always listen to? Ain't Got the Blues. Ain't got the blues. There's no reason to have the blues. No reason to sing the blues. I mean, it's the old saying, you got the world by the tail with a downhill slide. And we do. And God has been so good to us. And what he's done for us up to now is just a drop in the bucket with what we have to look at on down the road. And I see it coming. And I'm thankful to be here tonight.
So And he is a way maker. And sometimes we have the human error to believe that the universe revolves around each one of us, and that we've got the only problem or the only situation. And sometimes the Lord needs to say, hey, you need to get things in perspective here. I know about everything, and I can handle it all. I got encouraged this week. If you've never ever done this, you need to go on YouTube and type in Louis Giglio, How Great Is God? And he goes into detail about how big this universe is. I won't go into detail because y'all need to watch it, and I couldn't do it justice, to be honest with you. But I can give you an idea. He said, if the earth was a golf ball, he said, try to find yourself on it somewhere. He gave an eye how big the sun was in comparison. He said, it'd be a 15-foot diameter compared to that golf ball. And you could fill up a school bus full of golf balls to fit inside the sun. And then he started pointing out the Whirlpool Galaxy. And he started telling how far that was away, beyond my imagination how far that was away, how many trillions, to explain what a light year was, and how many, I think it's 5 trillion miles or something like that was up in the light year. And I may get that wrong, but then he talked about another star and how big it was compared to the Earth. He said you'd have to take your golf ball. He said if you can't use your imagination, you'd have to go to New York City, lay your golf ball at the Empire State Building, and look up and imagine 5 more Empire State Buildings stacked on top of the Empire State Building. And that's how big that star is compared to our golf ball. He said, remember, you got to find yourself on that little golf ball. And then he told about this other planet, this other star. I remember the name of this one because it's with Betelgeuse. Oh, yeah. And he said, if you want to know how big this one was, you compare, lay that golf ball at the base edge of the Golden Gate Bridge. And imagine another Golden Gate Bridge on the other side of that one. And he said you could... I think on the Empire State Building one, he said you could fill up the Astrodome with golf balls. That's how bigger it was. And this other one, he said, imagine 2 Golden Gate Bridges in diameter compared to that little golf ball. And I thought, my God. Sometimes I get in a mind where I tell God what to do. And the psalm says he breathed out the heavens, breathed out the stars. He's a star-breathing God. He said, but if that don't really, you know, do anything for you, he said, there's another planet, a star called Canis Majoris. Is that what it was called, Brother Jeremy? Have you seen that before? And he said, this star is so massive that you have to go to Mount Everest and lay your golf ball at the base of Mount Everest. And his comparison was there would be enough golf balls to fill the state of Texas 20 inches deep. That's the comparative size. That's a big, mighty God. He controls all that. Yeah, he's concerned about little old me. He can calm the storms of my life. He's performing miracles on my life. You know what the biggest miracle of all is? A changed heart. He said, and you know what? Our heart can never be changed. If we don't grasp and comprehend how much He loves us. And the reason we can't, He says, I'm going to read a scripture real fast. Because I want to take a prayer request and receive the offering tonight. And I wanted to read a scripture here in John. And I don't even remember where it was at. I was looking at it. Oh, John, 1 John 4. Beloved, let us, set verse 7. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God. And it was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved, we ought to love one another. And as He says, the only way we can do it is to come to the realization that not that we love God, but that He loved us. And the character of Christ is in such way, He had the character. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Right? That's what He said. He said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. It was complete selflessness. He did it all for us. He manifested God's character, God's love. And we have to somehow realize this forgiveness that He lays upon us for another verse, for us to forgive and love one another. Not, He says right here, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Hallelujah. How, man, when you can realize, when you come to the realization, I gotta quit trying to work for this. He loves me. I don't have anything to prove. I don't have to prove my love to Him. You know, when you realize it, it melts you. It humbles you. That's what God wanted it to do. He wants it to humble you. You know, man wants to condemn you, bring condemnation on you. Paul called that the ministration of death, condemnation. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Someone asked, well, I was talking to somebody the other day about the things of God. He goes, well, how are we going to apply this in our life? I said, we're going to have to start being merciful. We're going to have to, got to remember, God loves us. He's this almighty God that controls the universe. I got tickled. I was talking to my brother-in-law, and we was talking about these things, and he's talking about, we both love science fiction. And he said he's watching a sci-fi show, and a guy said, I've been to the edge of space. You know what's out there? More space. Our finite minds can't hardly imagine. It can't comprehend. I don't want to major in the minors. I got to thinking about these things, and God loves us. He wants to manifest His character in us. we come to the realization of love, then we can love. That's the only time we can love. You take anybody that does not believe that they are loved. You know, the mean people in this world, you know why they're so mean? They've never experienced love. That's right. They have no idea what it's like to be loved. And someone... And so, but we don't believe we're loved. We mankind, each and every human being out here is seeking validation from somebody. Somebody love me. That's why people dress the way they dress, look the way they look, join gangs, join brotherhoods, join secret societies. I gotta belong to something. Somebody make me feel important. Will somebody please love me? And not God not only called us to receive his love, but he wants us to love one another. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see me." See the good works of God. Lord, shine your light all around me, we sing. Well, shine your light through me. I don't want to be... If I'm an old crab, there's something wrong. Well, he's worthy of all of our praise. Think about it. When troubles and the storm is all around you, remember Jesus in the boat. Is he in your boat? Of course he's in your boat. You know, let me tell you something. Read your Bible. Read the stories in the Bible. God called Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, get thee out of thy country. I'm going to show you a country which I'm going to raise you and raise a nation out of you. And it's going to be silk sheets and feather pillows from here on out." Is that what he said? He didn't even tell him what he was going to. He didn't give him the plan. Not at all. He showed Joseph just a little bit of the plan to got Joseph in a lot of trouble. That was part of the plan. No, he didn't. Jesus said, was it Jesus? Am I quoting this right? Walk by faith and not be blessed is he that walks by faith and not by sight. Am I got that right? He was talking about Thomas. Yeah. Blessed is he that believed and not see. Hath not seen. That's right. He calls us. He tests us. There are some sufferings part of the test. But Paul said the sufferings in this present life are unworthy to can be prepared. To the glory, how's the rest of that go? To the glory that's been revealed in him. It's not even worthy to be compared. But, you know, are we going to walk by faith? Are we going to stand there? Are we going to be like the little bird in a tree? My tree ain't going anywhere. Jesus is in my boat. Actually, I'm in Jesus' boat. Hallelujah. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Praise God. Brother and sister Weaver called. They requested prayer. Pray for Brother Smith. He's got something. He picked up over there on the island. And so he's having a relapse. So he never really got better, did he, totally? The lunch started getting worse. Whole family needs prayer. Sister Durham? Okay. Brother Durham's mother's in the hospital. She's got an infection. Sister Elsie. Praise God. Let's pray. Yes. Did y'all hear that? He said Brother Herman Ballou passed away. Yeah. Passed away. When did he pass away?
I think
yesterday. And they're having the funeral in Jackson Saturday. In Newport Saturday.
Jackson
Funeral Home in Newport. Okay.
Natalie's suffering bad with her allergies right now.
Okay. Pray for Natalie suffering with allergies. What was her name? Faye Spencer. Okay. She said that her aunt was had to take her to the hospital. She's emphysema and COPD and some things wrong with her. Sister Abraham? Sister Abraham's family, she has an unspoken request. Okay. Sister Sandra? Having trouble with his... He's having trouble with his legs tonight? Okay. All right. Sister Lynette's not feeling well. Let's pray for her. Sister. Praise God. Praise God. Praise Matt. Okay, they went there for mom and dad's. Okay, I'm glad they're probably glad to have them up there. Yeah, we got Andrew and Brittany back after being gone for eons. They're back. Praise God. Let's stand, take these knees before the Lord. The ushers come forth, and we'll also receive the offering tonight, Wednesday night offering. Dear Lord, we give you thanks, oh God. And we thank you, Lord. And we appreciate you, Lord, for loving us. And Lord, we love you for loving us. And we have so many of our brothers and sisters that are sick, illnesses, oh God in heaven. dad. Oh God, touch him, touch him. Let the sickness leave. Rebuke the sickness. Each request that was brought before tonight, the ones with cancer, and we give you thanks for the ones that are in remission. Oh God, each soul that needs touch and encourage, Lord, send an encouraging spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. We thank you so much. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Everybody.